Ahead and get started then. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. You know, the revelation of the mystery. Of course, we as mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right dividers of a King James Bible, we understand that we live in this, the dispensation of the grace of God. And that dispensation given to Paul in a mystery called the revelation of the mystery, that given to him by the glorified, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, starting in Acts chapter 9, and was visited a number of times, at least four times, by the Lord Jesus Christ, given additional information. And you find those occurrences throughout Paul's writings and through the book of Acts. Well, what, you know, you, when you sit back and really think about the big picture of the Bible, so many things have gone on prior to Christ's earthly ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection. So many things had gone on. There was such a space of time, nearly 4,000 years, or just about 4,000 years in time, that had elapsed since the creation of the world. That, you know, a lot of things happened back then, and some hard to explain, some things hard to understand, but all things were prophesied events. All things had to do with prophecy. Even back as far as Genesis chapter 3, you find the Lord Jesus Christ in prophecy. So all things from Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first eight chapters of the book of Acts, you find nothing but the prophetic program, things that had been spoken since the world began. And of course, we're going to see that verse right now. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 20. This is just a classic comparison of verses. We opened with Romans 16, 25, which talks about a mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 20, which I just told you was included in part of the prophecy program, that the vast majority of your Bible, and you'll see a difference in the language, whom the heaven must receive, talking about, of course, Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So here in two verses, you find two bodies of information. One kept a secret since the world began, one spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know, mid-Acts dispensational Pauline right division of a King James Bible is one of the few belief systems, I suppose, or keys to the Bible, methods of understanding the Bible that are out there that is going to explain the dichotomies of your Bible, that are going to explain the differences that you find in your Bible without having to make excuses for them. How wonderful that is, not to have to try to correct your Bible or Greek your Bible or make excuses for your Bible, but rather we can let those two verses say what they say and mean what they say. Interest, you know, and how wonderful that is. How faith-building that is, when you can actually trust what your Bible says and you don't have to make excuses for it. Then you can place your faith in the Word of God. That, of course, is going to edify you and establish you in the doctrine. So, the revelation of the mystery. We heard last night when McBible taught about the revelation of mystery, the 6 points of the revelation of mystery, and so I don't want to go over those 6 points again, but rather, I want you to understand the importance of the revealing of a mystery, a body of information which had been kept secret since the world began. It was a secret that was kept by God, not revealed to the angels, not revealed to Satan, not revealed to the prophets. Moses didn't know anything about it. Elijah didn't prophesy anything about it. Samuel never mentioned it. Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, never came out and said, there is another body of information. Although you kind of do find a hint now and then that there might be something up his proverbial sleeve, but nevertheless, there is never any indication that you and me Gentiles, we as Gentiles, are we ever going to be able to approach God without going through the nation Israel. What a wonderful thing that is, that we have access to God, access to our Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ. That by the revelation of the mystery. If you are saved, if you're trusting Christ for your soul's salvation, if you have placed your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for your soul's salvation, if you have done that, you have done that because of the information that was given to Paul in the revelation of the mystery. If all the things that you, all the things that we hold near and dear to our hearts, all the things that we know to be true, were spoken of by the Apostle Paul, given to him and him alone in the revelation of the mystery. You don't find salvation back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't find salvation in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. You don't find salvation back there in any of the books of the Old Testament. You only find salvation for this dispensation of grace in the Apostle Paul's writings, that via the revelation of the mystery. What a wonderful thing that is to know. Once you get your mind around the fact that God has bestowed on you and I information straight from the Lord Jesus Christ that is saving information, that is new information. This is not just a rehash of some old thing. This is not just a rewrite of the same old material. Rather, this is completely new material given to the Gentiles, given to all the world, now that Israel has been concluded, that being one of the 6 points of the revelation of the mystery, that Israel has fallen. The result of that is wonderful. Not for Israel, but the result of that for Gentiles, for the rest of the world, is wonderful, because through Israel's fall, we find out that we can be saved. We can then have direct access to God, just like Israel used to. But even better, we have salvation by grace through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection. We don't have a covenant standing. We don't have a covenant program. We're not under the law. We have none of the same promises that Israel had. You need to understand that. But yet we have better promises. We have been completed in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Things are wonderful if you understand the revelation of the mystery. Your Christianity can succeed because of your understanding of the revelation of the mystery. You can look forward to a profitable life and a profitable life after this life if you understand the revelation of the mystery. You one day will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and answer for the things done while in this body. And if you stand there, and your chances of having a better day are increased tremendously if you have a good understanding of Pauline doctrine, and that Pauline doctrine is contained in the revelation of the mystery. That is going to be the issue, my friends. When you stand by in front of the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, one of these days, you're going to answer for those things. The issue is going to be, were you Pauline in your doctrine? We're also going to see that very shortly. But the mystery was made known by the prophets contemporary with Paul. Contemporary prophets. You know, when we talk about prophets, the first thing that comes to mind is Moses or Samuel or Elijah or Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophets. Of course, then you have the minor prophets, Nehemiah and Ezra. You have all the prophets back there. But when Paul talks about the revelation of the mystery being made known by the prophets, you need to understand that there were prophets contemporary with the Apostle Paul. And we find that out. Romans chapter 16, verse 26. That same revelation, which was kept secret since the world began, is now made manifest in by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. For the obedience of faith. That it's not the obedience of the law, it's not the obedience of doing things, but rather the obedience of faith, and faith in Christ, that and that alone. So we have a body of information made known by Scripture. I can turn right now. Beside me here, I have a copy of the Scripture. I have a King James Bible which contains 13 books of Paul's writings. Those are the scriptures that Paul is talking about when he says the revelation of the mystery made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. So don't think that you can go back into the Old Testament books, Genesis through John, the first eight chapters of Acts, and find the revelation of the mystery. It just isn't there. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. We find prophets in that were contemporary with Paul that God set in the church for a purpose. God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All those things, look at the first part of the sentence though. God hath set some in the church. God placed these people in specific positions at a specific time, just as he gave the revelation of the mystery to a certain person at a specific time. He set these folks in specific positions and places in the church for a reason. The prophets were set in the church for the revealing of the information. Not these same prophets. These are not the same prophets. I so need you to understand this, that these were not the same prophets as those that dealt with Israel's prophetic program. Look at Acts chapter 3. Do we have that up on the screen? We do. Acts chapter 3, verse 24. Yea, and all the... There's Peter talking. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That is a covenant promise to Israel, and that explains right there how we would have had to go about receiving salvation, how we would have had to go about approaching God through the nation Israel, because in thy seed, that would have been the children of the nation Israel, shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Not direct contact with God, not directly going to God, not the blessed hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory, not any of those things. Only those things have come about because of the revelation of the mystery. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 9. Isaiah talks about the Gentiles getting saved under the prophetic program. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. That, of course, Israel. Those are the people that are going to be known. Those are the people that are going to have offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them. In other words, you see Israel, you acknowledge Israel, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Well, as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out? You look at the evening news and you find out Israel hasn't been quite as blessed as people would like you to believe. Israel has not, they're not in their kingdom program. Israel is having difficulties because they are not right now engaged in prophecy, as we are not engaged in prophecy either. Israel have no standing. They have fallen. They have been set aside for a time. The time will come when, yes, they will again have standing. The time will come again when, yes, the Gentiles will then have to approach God through the conduit of the nation Israel. But until that time, we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. A completely different dispensation, a completely different program for you and for me, completely different for Israel, if only they would realize. But you know, the Bible says that they've been blinded, and they just can't get it. They just don't understand. They need salvation, just like you and me. What is that? After the rapture? That is correct. After we meet the Lord in the air, after the body of Christ meets the Lord in the air, that prior to prophecy restarting, then once we're out of here, prophecy will start back up where it left off in the book of Acts, that during the tribulation. Israel then will have to go through the remaining 5 or 6 years of tribulation that have not gone on, that culminating in, of course, the bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ to earth to rule and reign in an earthly kingdom, that being the New Jerusalem, that being the Jerusalem that you see coming down out of heaven, landing on earth on Mount Zion. You see that in Revelation chapter 21, 22. And on the throne here on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit and rule and reign over 12 apostles. And they then will sit on 12 thrones and rule and reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 12 tribes of Israel then will rule and reign over all the nations of the earth. And through Israel then, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, just as we saw there in Isaiah chapter 61, just as we saw there in Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Prophecy is completely different. So you're not going to have to worry about that. We're going to be out of here prior to that or occurring. You know, so many people, the Hal Lindseys of the world, the Jack Van Impeys of the world, you know, so many people are so concerned about the coming tribulation period. Is the Antichrist alive? You know, when will the Antichrist show up? And all these prophetic events that they try to read the current events of this time into the Bible. Well, my friends, let me tell you, no scripture is of private interpretation. You make Gog and Magog Russia. You make Tubal, cities in the north, and it's just private interpretation. You go to the book of Revelation and you start to read atomic bombs and missiles and cruise missiles, and you start to read into the book of Revelation troop movements, and it's just private interpretation. Let the Bible say what it says, and especially to whom it says it. And Revelation does not speak to the body of Christ. We are going to be gone. We will be enjoying our new life, our new bodies in heavenly places when all that occurs. What a difference. When you know that you're not going to have to deal with that situation, we have not been appointed to wrath, you will not have to go through 7 years of tribulation, you will not have to worry about your soul, you will not have to worry about enduring to the end, you will not have to worry about the wiles of the devil, and you won't have to worry about whatever warfare goes on and not taking the mark of the beast and all those things that occur during Israel's tribulation period. That's Daniel's 70th week. There's nothing in prophecy that is happening now. If you see things that happen now that you say, well, maybe that is a prophesied event, let me tell you, Paul tells us that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And it's been at work for a long time. It's been at work for at least, going on 2,000 years anyway. So don't try to interpret the scriptures by what you read in your newspaper. Don't try to interpret the Bible by what you see on the evening news. The two just don't correspond. You're going to make a mess out of both if that is your inclination. Let the Bible say what it says. Rightly divide understanding what doctrine is for you. When Paul says that the revelation of the mystery has been given to us in this dispensation of grace, we can understand some things, that this is a special dispensation. This is something that was not made known since the world began. We found that out in Romans chapter 16, 25. If you're dealing with prophecy, you're dealing with things that have been made known since the world began. The two things are different. Something that was hidden, something that was made known. Something that God kept a secret, something that God revealed to everyone. Now, you need to be fully persuaded in your own mind. You need to make up your mind. Are you going to believe the apostle to the Gentiles? Are you going to believe your apostle when he tells you that he has been given a program by the Lord Jesus Christ, especially for you, especially for this dispensation that you live in, and that no other doctrines in the Bible are going to apply to you other than those given to the apostle Paul by Christ himself? So you need to understand, you need to make up your mind. Are you going to try to follow Jesus in his earthly ministry plus live a life of grace and faith only? Are you going to try to sprinkle works into the faith-only program, trying to make excuses? Well, I'm not really trying to work my way to heaven. I'm just doing these works because James 2:24 says, if I have faith, then I need to have works. You start making excuses for the Bible. You start making up stories for what you're doing. Understand where you live. Understand the time that you live in, and understand what doctrine applies to you. Your life will get much easier. Your understanding will grow exponentially. You then will not have to be confused when you go to your Bible. You then will be able to identify right and wrong. You will be able to read, you know, acclaimed authors, people that you would fall down and practically kiss their feet, because these are folks who have sold millions and millions of books, and yet you can read their book and understand how wrong they really are, because they don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. They don't recognize that Paul's apostleship is something special, is something different. He is not the 13th apostle. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. So, you know, I've gone off on a tangent there, but for good reason. The message is different. The message of Isaiah, the message of Acts, in the early book of Acts, when Peter's preaching to those men of Israel, that is different than the message that we receive via the Apostle Paul, via the revelation of the mystery. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, which is just about to the top of the screen on my computer, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Christ had purposed a thing in himself. God had purposed a thing in himself, that being the salvation of the Gentiles during this, the dispensation of the grace of God, via our faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. We have redemption through his blood, not a blessing through the seed. Do you see the difference? We in Acts chapter 3, verse 25, all the seed shall, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. We're not blessed because of Israel. We don't have anything to do with Israel. You know, President Bush, all the presidents before him, they all seem to believe in this thing called manifest destiny. They all will seem to believe that if only we protect Israel, if only we bless Israel, then we're going to get a blessing from God. You can see it in their policies. You can see it in their politics. You can see it in the things they do. And yet, Israel has no standing with God. Israel has been set aside. We don't have to go to Israel in order to be able to approach God. We have redemption through his blood, which is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, that according to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that according to the revelation of the mystery. A completely different way of attaining salvation, a completely different way of attaining standing with God. You know, at one time, you had no standing with God. Ephesians makes that perfectly clear. But now, you are in the Beloved. You have become a part of the body of Christ. If you are saved, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is completely different than having to approach God through a nation of Israel. The mystery information, then, it reveals the building of a body of believers. That, my friends, is what is going on today. We are not trying to usher in a kingdom. We are not trying to improve the world. This on Earth Day, yes, I was out planting trees in my front yard. The only reason being, I don't want to have to cut the grass up there in another 20 years. If I plant enough trees, there'll be so much shade, grass won't grow. I'm just trying to plan ahead. It just happened to be on Earth Day. But you know, you read the newspaper, there's people that are out planting trees because they're trying to usher in the kingdom. They're out there doing things to try to clean up the air because they're trying to, you know, they're trying to improve the world so Jesus will come back. It's not about a kingdom. It's not about life here on earth for us. We do not have a home here on earth. We're only ambassadors here for a time, and then we get to a new body. We get to have our life in heavenly places. We set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. So while we're here on this earth, What is our concern? What should we be doing? What is the big picture of the revelation of the mystery? Well, the big picture is God is building a body of believers called the body of Christ. That is what we are to engage ourselves in as his ambassadors. There's the big picture right there. That's what we're to be doing. It's not difficult to find God's will, that he would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that he would have you to be separate, sanctified, and thankful for all things. It's not difficult to find God's will and what you should be doing with your daily activities. The mystery then reveals that information about a body of believers that is being built as we speak. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We don't have to go to a temple of brick and mortar to find God. We don't have to approach a priest and send him into the Holy of Holies once a year in order to garner forgiveness or the setting aside of our sins. We have forgiveness of sins, redemption through his blood. That is different, and that according to the revelation of the mystery. We then, verse 9, are laborers together with God. As his ambassadors, we don't fight God. We are at peace with God, Romans 5:1. Therefore, we need to get on the same page as God and be laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You don't have to take people to church. You are the church. You take the church to the people. You take the message to the people. You take the information that was contained in the revelation of the mystery to the people, according to verse 10, the grace of God, which is given unto me as, hopefully, a wise master builder. Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can a man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the temple that you call your body. If you are saved, you have Christ in you. If you are saved, you have become part of the body of Christ. If you are saved, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ's body. That is the foundation that you have been built on. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. No other foundation is there for salvation. No other method is there for salvation. There's 330 million gods in the Hindu religion. There's Allah, there's Muhammad, there's Buddha, there's all kinds of gods out there. But there's only one foundation that leads to salvation, that being the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in his blood. You need to understand that that is information not found in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is not information found in Genesis through Malachi. That is not information that is found in Hebrews through Revelation. It is only found in Paul's writings, Romans through Philemon. That means that it is a special body of information that, quite frankly, the church has missed. Quite frankly, your denominational Christianity has absolutely disregarded the primacy of Paul's apostleship. They have missed the revelation of the mystery, and they have mixed works and grace and are leading people down the path to destruction and to hell. Understanding the mystery. You can do that. You can do that. You can understand the mystery that it was given, the information was given for the edifying of the church. If God just wanted to save souls, he could do that. Once you placed your faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd just zap you right off the earth and you'd be gone. And he'd wait until he had enough souls. But that's not the purpose. The revelation of the mystery is a body of information that was given to the Apostle Paul to give to the church, the body of Christ. That would be you, that would be me, for the edifying, the building up of the church, the temple, the building up of you, you being the temple, you being the temple of God, and then the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Didn't I tell you earlier about prophesying, that God had set prophets in the church? That 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, God had set some prophets into the church for a particular purpose, for the revealing of the information, that the church would have this information. And so that prophecy had a purpose, that the church could be edified. Look again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Paul reiterates, and he gave some apostles. This is God. He gave some. He set some in the church, apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the information was given, the information was put down in Scripture by the prophets, if you remember Romans chapter 16. The information was put there for you and me, for you and me. But there is an end to the giving of information. God placed an end to the giving of information. If you think that you're not a prophet, that you are a prophet, if you think that God speaks to you, if you think that God is revealing things to you, if you think that God is telling you things, if you think that when you watch the news, God is saying there's Scripture being fulfilled, then, quite frankly, I worry about you in more ways than one. But maybe you just don't understand that Scripture has been completed. Maybe you don't understand that there was an end to the giving of information by God's holy prophets. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Remember Ephesians 11 and 12, God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then there's the end game. Till we come, there is a time frame until we come to a certain point. Those people back there in verse 11 and 12 were put in place until something happened. Till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Function? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but rather speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The function of the edifying of the body, then, is that we grow up in him, that we grow in grace, that we grow in understanding and knowledge of the revelation of the mystery, that henceforth, verse 14, we be no more children tossed up to and fro by every wind of doctrine. that we can be rooted and grounded, that we don't have to open a debate every time we talk on Pal Talk, that our doctrine does not have to be up for grabs, that we don't have to have a discussion about what we believe. We know what we believe because we have an apostle that told us, this is what you need to believe. Paul put the doctrine in Scripture because he was given the revelation of the mystery. God set prophets in the church that were contemporary with the Apostle Paul. And by those prophets, the Scripture was given. The information was disseminated. And we have that information in our King James Bible. The body of Christ then needs to grow up and understand on this, the 100th anniversary of Azusa Street, that sign gifts are not for us. The signs and miracles and wonders that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the signs, miracles, and wonders that you see in the book of Acts, the signs, wonders, and miracles that you even see the Apostle Paul working in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you need to understand are not for us because they too have an end game. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, there were, weren't there? Remember Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11? God gave apostles and prophets. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, yes, there were tongues, weren't there? Paul spoke in tongues. The Holy Spirit descended there in Acts chapter 2, and the little flock started speaking with tongues. Tongues were everywhere back there, contemporary with Paul, but whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Apparently, these verses aren't in the Pentecostal Bible, because I can read it and find out that tongues and prophecies are going away, and they have gone away. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Where people think that there are new revelations from God on high coming down in dreams and visions and special revelation that when you read your newspaper, you can see prophecy being fulfilled and you need to call a talk show and tell them all about it. That, my friend, is your imagination. That, my friend, is private interpretation of Scripture. Or that, my friend, is just your ignorance. Because God has done away with some of the things that he used to do. Tongues are gone. Prophecies are gone. New knowledge, revelations, they're gone. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But, verse 10, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What was in part? We need to identify what is going away. That which was in part was incomplete Scripture, incomplete revelation, incomplete knowledge of God via the revelation of the mystery. And did I not tell you when we started this lesson that Jesus Christ, the glorified Christ, visited Paul no less than four separate times in the book of Acts and during his ministry. We know that not all things were given to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. We know that Paul's understanding of the revelation of the mystery increased each and every time he met with the glorified Lord Jesus. So, when that which is in part shall be done away with, that would be new revelations. That would be incomplete prophecies. That would be incomplete knowledge. That when that which is perfect has come, what is it? The revelation of the mystery, the completed revelation. That which is perfect, so that we have all the information that we need, so that we can, Ephesians 4:13, come unto the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of Man, so that we do know how to come unto that of a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we do know how to be no more children, so that we don't need to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We can be rooted and grounded because we have a complete revelation given by God Almighty to our apostle, the Apostle Paul, that via the revelation of the mystery. Understanding of the mystery does away with the need for signs and wonders. You know, it's not enough that they're gone. There seems to be among some Christians out there, especially the Pentecostal charismatic movement, a need for some kind of sign verification, a need to see something, a need to have something happen, a need for a feeling or a goosebump or a Holy Ghost zap to come over them. We, because of our understanding of the revelation of the mystery, don't need the signs and wonders. We don't need to play Holy Ghost hoodly-doo. We don't need to pretend to talk in tongues. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 21, and you, that is you, by the way, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now hath he reconciled. We found that out, if you remember, all the way back there in, where did we find that out? We found that all the way back there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, that we have redemption through his blood. But you have been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, that being the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know by Romans chapter 6, verse 11, I believe, if I am correct on that, verse 11, that we have been baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We share in his death, burial, and resurrection. That, my friends, is why we reckon ourselves dead. We reckon ourselves dead unto sin through the body of the flesh. So in the body of the flesh, we are reconciled through death, that we can be presented, verse 22, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith. Not if you continue in works, not if you endure to the end, not if you live out the prophecy program, not if you take sacrifices to a temple, not if you say the prayer of Jabez, not if you keep the Ten Commandments, not if you, you know, say the Lord's Prayer. None of those things. You need to be grounded and settled in your faith, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am a minister. Paul, the minister of grace to the body of Christ, via the revelation of the mystery. We don't have to fake the miraculous healings that you see on the Baloney Network on TV. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 24, we'll continue on in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul was glorying in his afflictions. Paul gloried in his sufferings. Paul prayed three times, let this thorn in my flesh be taken away. What was the answer that he received from God? My grace is sufficient for you. So Paul gloried in his tribulations and troubles. Paul gloried in his sicknesses and afflictions. Rather than going up front, rather than asking the baloney faith healer to lay hands and anoint you with oil, we need to accept the fact and glory in the sufferings and reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared. We don't have to worry about the fake miraculous healings. We don't have to look for signs and wonders. We don't have to look for new revelations everywhere we look. Colossians chapter 1, let's continue there in verse 25. Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. There is the answer, that the word has been fulfilled. It has been completed. There is no more to add. the information that was given to Paul, that which was hid since before the beginning of the world, that was the information that completed Scripture, that fulfilled the Word of God, even, verse 26, the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's something that Israel could never have said. They just never had in the prophetic program Christ in them, the hope of glory. That, my friends, is a tenet of the revelation of the mystery. So we don't have to pretend that we're Israel. So much of Christianity today wants to be Israel. So much of Christianity today has an earthly orientation. So much of the world today has an earthly... Everybody in the world today, let me just clarify that, everybody in the world today has an earthly orientation, and it's all about how much can I get, what can I get, and when do I get it? We need to have a different orientation, setting our sights on things above and not on things of this earth. By doing so, we don't have to pretend that we're Israel. We don't have to pretend that we're spiritual, literal, physical, replacement, any kind of Israel that you could possibly think of. And why would you want to? Do you remember back in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, where we find out that Paul says, "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery." Israel gets established, but it has nothing to do with my gospel. It has nothing to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with the revelation of the mystery. It has everything to do with a kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, "And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." That, my friends, is an earthly, literal, messianic, Davidic kingdom on this earth. We don't have that orientation. We're looking for the blessed hope. We want to be out of here, meeting the Lord in the air, off to heavenly places. If you're going to follow Jesus, then, if you think you're Israel, you think you're going to follow Jesus, you need to change your mind about how you're doing it. You need to follow Jesus according to the revelation of the mystery. Acts chapter 3, verse 22, we find Peter says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up to you unto your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Who was the prophet? That was Christ. That was Jesus in his earthly ministry. You want to follow prophecy? You want to follow a prophet? Then you don't need to follow Jesus in his earthly ministry. You don't have to wait for some prophet to show up. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Christ is the one. Christ the prophet. Christ the one who knows. Christ the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the one revealing the information. Paul just passes it on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, Paul says, "If any man..." Remember, there was prophets back then? They've been gone. They're gone now, but there were prophets back then. Paul says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge something. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So everything contained in the scriptures of the prophets that are contemporary with Paul and written in Paul's 13 epistles in your King James Bible are indeed the commandments of the Lord. I just love the next verse, though. "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If you want to ignore the fact that Paul's your apostle, if you want to ignore the fact that Paul was given the revelation of mystery, if you want to ignore the fact that it was a revelation that was kept secret since the world began, that opposed to all the things that were spoken by the holy prophets since the world began in the kingdom program, if you want to ignore the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, if you want to ignore the fact that all your sins have been forgiven by the work that Jesus did on the cross, if you want to ignore the fact that works are not compatible with faith, in that if you're counting on works for your salvation, if you're counting on works to get up to heaven, you're going to land in hell. If you want to ignore the fact that Paul is your apostle and says so, if you want to ignore the fact that the whole program is completely different, then you can do that. If you want to be ignorant, you can be ignorant, Paul says. But doing that which God has given for us today will, in fact, work in this time and that we live. Christianity, if you want your Christianity to succeed, if you want your worthy walk to succeed, then you cannot be going out trying to speak in tongues and be intellectually honest. You cannot be going out trying to heal people and be intellectually honest about your Christianity. If you want to have an intellectually honest, worthy walk with God, doing what God has set forth for us to do, and this is the dispensation of the grace of God, then you need to pay attention to the revelation of the mystery. You need to pay attention to the doctrine which has been set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ for us today. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I am not telling you anything that I made up. I am not telling you anything that the Apostle Paul made up. Rather, what Paul has written are indeed the commandments of God. And you need to receive them, not as if it is Paul talking to you, but rather in truth that it is the Word of God, the commandments of God, and God giving you instruction, that being via the revelation of the mystery. You do that, you believe what your Bible says, you believe the doctrine that has been set forth for you today in the revelation of the mystery, and God's Word will work effectually also in you that believe. And with that, we're going to